welcome to all of you as we gather this wintry day. You can tell by my voice, I'm recovering from a head cold, but we will get through, amen? You know, whatever we have declared, whatever we have said about Jesus, as he is, so are we in this world. You know, everything Jesus said about himself, he is not self-promoting, he is not delusional, as we have been on this series, about where he makes those declarations, he includes us into it, amen? So every time when we hear something Jesus say about himself, it is because he's inviting us to experience him again and again, that our life really will have that abundant life. See, abundant life is not material prosperity, full stop, but abundant life actually is a life of freedom. And how many of us want the life of freedom? Well, Jesus bought it for us. We all know we're all still struggling in some way and another. As James himself said, we all stumble. We all stumble in many ways. Even though we are saved, we are still stumbling. But yet, Jesus loves us so much that he said, I come to give you life, and I come to give you life to the full. And this full life is the divine life of God living in us through his Spirit. And because he lives, we live as well. Well, look at where we are right now. As the past few months, I've been saying this again and again, where we talk about listen to Jesus and do what he says. Turn to your neighbor and say the same thing. Listen to Jesus and do what he says. How many of us don't want to listen to Jesus? Then you can go home now. Now, if we want to listen to Jesus and do what he says, no Christian will say they don't want to do that, but we all will have this same journey. Is if I need to listen to Jesus, I must discover Jesus. I must know Jesus. And that brings us to the second thing is, who is Jesus and why we need him? Unless we can trust him explicitly, obedience is always a struggle. But when we know that he loves us without condition, then obedience is the fruit of being loved. Many of us as believers, we struggle in obeying God. I will tell you the truth. Listening to God is easy. Obeying is difficult. Why? It's because we have not come to that place that we feel safe with God. He can save us, but doesn't mean we feel safe. Because there will be time he will challenge us. There will be time he stretches us. Not because he doesn't like us, but because he loves us, he wants to grow us, he wants to prosper us, he wants to strengthen us. But we need to get to know him. So we are studying in the book of the Gospel of John. And John is the gospel that was written for one special purpose. That when people read the Gospel of John, or when they get to hear the Gospel of John, it is for people to believe him. So the Gospel of John is like an evangelistic tract. It's about 21 chapters. It's a very thick tract. Right? Usually evangelistic tract is only one page or two pages in a sense. But here, as you read this gospel, you are brought into this conclusion that Jesus is really the Son of God. Jesus is the Savior of the world. And Jesus knows me by name. That's important. You know, many of us struggle with this. Does God really know me? And that's why sometimes it is always easier for us to pray and believe for other people's need and believing God will answer our needs. Isn't it true? No, people ask us to pray for them. Somehow faith just flows so easily. But when we pray for ourselves, it seems to be a deep struggle that is God hearing me? And so we look at the Gospel of John. There are seven I am's statements of Jesus as we look at the past few weeks. And last week, we talked about Jesus say, I am the door. And today, we're going to look at what he says, I am the shepherd. So we start with Jesus declaring that he is the bread of life. He is here to supply our needs. He is here to take care of us. At the same time, he talks about he is the light of the world. And he brings light to our darkened world so that when we can see, we will not fall into sin. And so it's important that Jesus is the door. You know, he opens himself to us. That as you remember the picture I showed last week, that the sheep are kept in a sheep pen, but there's no wooden door. The actual shepherd that lies there is the actual door. And why is this important? Because as each sheep gathers in or get out of that pen, the shepherd looks at each sheep individually, looking for wounds, looking for hurts, looking for places that is not aligned in which he will tend to that sheep and take care of the sheep. That's why he says, my sheep hears my voice and follow me. When Jesus died on the cross, he has personally invested his life to die for each one of us. And that's why it's so important that we find our value in him. We must find that worth in who Christ sees us in him. You know, sometimes our struggle is we are always looking for external validation. And sometimes it is good to have external validation, but those things doesn't last forever. But what is important that we know that internally we are valued. And so here today we want to look at this, about the same passage when Jesus declared himself, I am the good shepherd. But before that, let's go to Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 to 36. Here Jesus began his ministry. He was modeling it for his disciples. And then the word says here, and Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. The people were sick, the people were unwell because the people of the old came under the law. And when they could not fulfill the law, Moses said they come under a curse of a list of sicknesses. But Jesus went to declare, now is the time where the new kingdom is at hand. Repent and believe. And then verse 36 says, and when he saw the crowds, he had what? Compassion for them. You know, in Jewish culture, they don't feel for people with their heart. They feel for people in their gut. That's why the word compassion actually means womb of mercy or bowels of mercy. They feel it deep inside, in somewhere, in their inner being. So we will say we love someone with our hearts, but for the Hebrew people, for the Jewish people, they feel for someone with their guts. It's a gut-wrenching experience. So when Jesus saw the people who were unwell, who were sick, he said to his disciples, you know, he says that, you know, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Sheep without shepherd. When they live in those days, they know every sheep needs a shepherd. Without a shepherd, the sheep will not know where to find green pastures, do not know where to get good water, will not find rest. So he said, these people who do not know the kingdom, they are harassed and helpless. But if you read it in the original understanding, he was saying they were pinned down and molested. Okay, pinned down and molested. That means they are so helpless, they were pinned down and they were molested. And Jesus say they are sheep without shepherd. But then we look at John chapter 10, we see Jesus introduce himself to the people when he say, I am the door, in which he also say in John chapter 10, 11, 13, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd who does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. You know, sheep, unlike some animal, do not have any natural defense. It doesn't have the size, it doesn't have the strength, neither does it have the skill. All sheep does is, if the wolves are coming, they all will run together and form a circle. They just hope they are not the first entree. They hope someone else will be sacrificed, but not them. But here Jesus says, this is what happens when the wolves come. They have no shepherd. And sometimes the problem is those who were called shepherd. And here was a reference to the religious leaders of old. They were not true shepherds. They were hired hands. Hired hands is not invested. There's no ownership. They just want to get paid. And they will not sacrifice themselves. But Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I will lay down my life for my sheep. You know, this is a bit like the old maritime tradition that says, the captain goes down with the ship, right? So this is a maritime tradition that a sea captain ultimately is responsible for both the ship and the ship and the people that embark into it. So if something happened, well, put it this way, the captain either tried to save everyone on board or die trying. Jesus did not try to save everyone. Jesus saved everyone. Salvation is for the whole world. When he died on the cross, he died for the whole world. And then he comes to give us life and life to the full. He says, I'm not like a higher hand who runs away. So in one sense, Jesus not only laid his life for us, he thought of it long time ago, even before the foundation of the world, right? The Lamb of God was slain. When Jesus died on the cross, he knew us and called us out by name. And that is why he can declare it is finished. He did not just die for a whole humanity, but he remembered each person that belongs to the human race. But then much more, he says, I am not a hired hand. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad Jesus won't do a runner on us? Right? As the saying goes, when the tough gets going, the going gets tough, the tough gets going, right? So Jesus won't say, well, if the life gets tough, I'm going. No. See, he'll say, I'll stay with you. I shall be with you to the end. He says that. He will be with us. But much more, he will protect us. Unlike the higher hand, the moment they see danger, the moment they see the wolves coming to attack the flock, they ran away. But then he went again to affirm again, I am the good shepherd. Chapter 10, verse 14, he says, I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock, one shepherd. Here Jesus again reiterate that I am the good shepherd. I lay my life for everyone. Everyone belongs to me. I know my own and my own knows me. But he went further. He says, you know, just as the Father knows me, there is an intimate connection of the Father and him. He says, this will be that kind of relationship you and I are going to have. All of us can enjoy an intimate connection with Jesus Christ. Amen. So if we feel that God is far, God is not near me, the question we must ask, who moved? But the best thing is this. He says, I will never leave you or forsake you. It means the day you know Jesus Christ, you are never lost again. Well, you may feel lost, but as far as God's cosmology is involved here, he said, you're not lost. I know where you are. And I know how to find you. And so this is where it is, in that he knows us individually and he knows us completely. But then he also say, there are some sheep not of this fold. I will call them. They will listen to me and there will be one flock, one shepherd. So there's a difference between the word fold, F-O-L-D, and flock, F-L-O-C-K. The word fold is like this group of sheep is in this particular, sheep pen. In this particular groups of people. So all of us here in First Light, we are a fold. But everyone who knows Jesus Christ all over the world is the flock. Right? With one shepherd. So we don't go around in one sense. Sometimes this happens that we think if people is not part of us, they are not part of Jesus. Or they're not part of us, they're not Christian. We'll put it this way. In the world, there's only two kinds of people. Those who know the gospel of Jesus Christ and those who don't. And those who know the gospel of Jesus Christ must tell those who doesn't know the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? But in the church, likewise, it's the same thing. There are two kinds of believers. Those who know the gospel and those who don't. So those who know the gospel must tell those who knows the gospel. But then you may say, how can that be? If I'm a believer, I will know the gospel. In one sense, you are right. We may know the gospel as to receive Jesus Christ, but the gospel goes much more than receiving Jesus Christ. The gospel is the power of God.
It is the salvation of God at work. The gospel doesn't bring more power. The gospel itself is the power. That's what Paul says. And the more we understand the gospel, he says faith comes by hearing and by hearing the word of Christ. So many times we want our faith to increase, but end of the day, we do all kinds of things, all kinds of stuff, instead of just sitting and receive what God is saying to us. How then do we know the shepherd? How then do we know we are listening to his voice? Well, Jesus did say a little part in John, love one another as I love you. This is what it means to listen to Jesus and do what he says. To love one another as he loves us. You know, and this love is important. Especially in those moments, sometimes it is hard even to like that person. But when we learn to love one another by the grace of God, you say, we love, as Jesus said, love one another as I love you. That means he is our perfect example of loving each other. And what happens, he say, by this the world will know you are my disciple because you have a better theology. No, he did not say that. By this the world will know you are my disciple when you love one another. How many of you have this desire to make First Light the most loving community there is in the city of Perth? Oh, that's too ambitious. Let's say the most loving church in Stirling. Oh, Lord, help me. I lack of faith. But how do I know I love each other? How do we know we are the most loving community? I'll tell you. It is when saying I forgive you is as easy as saying I love you. That to me is the litmus test. Because if we truly love one another, the grace of God will give us that grace to forgive one another. But I don't know about you, but I sometimes find it is easier to love people than to forgive people. But there's no condemnation. There's only the experience of God, I need your grace. That I may learn to forgive as you forgive me, I may learn to love as you have loved me. Not because we just so simply want to be a healthy community, but we really want the whole world to know that we are truly your disciple. The ability to love one another by the grace of God reflects who we really believe, and that is Jesus. And Jesus, my friend, is perfect theology. Right? Jesus is perfect theology. But John 10, continue. For this reason, the Father loves me because I lay down my life, that I might take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I receive from my Father. Then what happened was this, in verse 19. There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, he has a demon and he is insane. Why listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? So we see a few things. First, Jesus laid down his life for us. Then he is here to guide and protect us. At the same time, he is here to nurture us and strengthen us. But much more than this, Jesus said that his death was not accidental. His death was predetermined even before the foundation of the world. So imagine for a moment where the Trinity gathered together to create creation. God says, I want to create creation. The moment they all knew when they create creation, the Trinity all knew that man will fall. And the Holy Spirit says, I'm not going there to do anything. I only work with clean people. Okay, I'm not saying the Holy Spirit is having OCD, but he works with clean people. And Jesus said, I will then go. I will take that sin upon myself. I'll take away their unrighteousness and give them the righteousness. And then Holy Spirit said, yep, that I can work with. I will come and work with these righteous people that they will continue to walk righteously. Hallelujah. And so salvation is not just one act. It is many acts of God's love and grace. The Father is involved, the Son is involved, the Holy Spirit is involved. And so what happened was this, that Jesus said, I did not just die accidentally. It was given to me by my Father, this assignment. But I lay down my life, I will pick it up again. Hallelujah. He dies so that he may live again. And that's why Paul will say years later into the Colossians that when Jesus died, he factors us into his death. He brings us into his death so that through him, we might have his life. How wonderful it is to have this unity with Christ. And the best part is this unity is not something you and I could do it. It is really the act of God that brought us into this union that we can enjoy. Enjoy that union, that all the blessings and the benefits of salvation is ours, is because the Lord has ordained it for us to his life, death, resurrection, and ascension, and his coming back again. But when he makes those bold claims, it creates two opposite forces. One was opposition. That man has a demon in him. He said this kind of crazy stuff about himself. Well, as I said before, when Jesus makes those bold claims, it's either you think that he is a liar, he's a madman, or he's really telling the truth. So one group who heard what Jesus said, say, that guy is crazy. He's demon-possessed. He's filled with Beelzebub. But another group saw opportunity. He said, if this man is demon-possessed, how can God listen to a prayer of a demon-possessed person? How can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Remember, that incident happens was Jesus prayed for this blind man and he received his healing. What Jesus was doing was he prayed for him on the Sabbath. And according to the Pharisees, you cannot pray for people on the Sabbath because anything that happens, if God heals a person, it is deemed as work. So anyone who does ministry on a Sunday is deemed as a sinner. It didn't fit into that theological schematic in a sense. But Jesus said the kingdom is much more bigger. And then what happened was this. If you are reading the Gospel of John now, you are also in this same thing. Am I here to see Jesus as a demonic possessed person, or am I here to see Jesus as one who's truly who he declared himself to be? Jesus will always make this statement and this will say all this stuff. And even today, as you read the gospel, we are still being brought to this place where we still have to decide. Do I see opposition or do I see opportunities? A while later, John 10 tells us, 22 to 24. At that time, the feast of dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. This is when later the Acts of the Apostles, the church always met there. This must be like a good tourist spot, or this must be a spot in which, you know, they remember these words. You do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I will give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. So this is a scenario. Jesus was in the temple at the colonnade of Solomon, and these Jews were a reference to all the Jewish leaders again. They came to him and say, you know, there's one thing very frustrating. We see your words. We hear your words. Somehow you are saying something about yourself that we cannot want to believe. Very complicated way of saying, meaning they were blaming Jesus for their unbelief. Say, Jesus, you're saying some stuff about yourself that causes us to doubt you, but tell us plainly. And Jesus said, if I tell you plainly, you will still not believe because you have never has intended to follow me. That's why when we share the gospel with people, I'll tell you, it takes less than 10 minutes to share the gospel. Once you go beyond 10 minutes, you are already arguing. Right? There is a place to defend the gospel, I'm not saying, but many times we need just to take a few minutes just to share the gospel. But we end up getting ourselves into all kinds of debate because there are people who have genuine questions. I'm not saying they don't have genuine questions. And those with genuine questions, we need to sit them down, have conversation with them, deal with their doubts one by one. But there are those who never intend to follow Jesus. You get what I'm saying? They just want to make us look stupid. And I'm telling you, it is good to look as a fool for Jesus Christ. Don't worry. As I say this again. If the world hates you because of Jesus, it is expected. But the world hates Jesus because of you, we have a problem. We need to resolve some stuff here, right? But here Jesus say, if you are really my sheep, you'll hear my voice. I can tell you many examples of what it means to hear the voice of Jesus. I know a friend called Olive back in Singapore. And Olive was going through a very tough week. And it is those weeks that you wonder, does God really care? How many of you have those weeks? Maybe you have it right now. Like, God, does God? I know God exists. I know God loves me, but does God really care? And so he was just frustrated, and Olive was taking the public transport in the bus. And when she stopped at this, at where her place was, she was then suddenly there was a huge downpour of rain. There was thunderstorm, and it was wind, and it was rain. And here was Olive stuck because she didn't bring an umbrella. And he knew this rain was going to go on for a long time, and she had to get home. And she just said, Lord, like, there are times your relationship with God is you do not know to laugh or to cry. And those are those moments. Then there was the next bus that came, and someone came up, a lady holding an umbrella and holding a spare one. Say, is your name Olive? He said, yes. Say, I was going out and the Lord told me to bring a spare umbrella and take this bus to this bus stop to look for a woman called Olive. Say, are you Olive? Put it this way, even if you're not Olive, you're stuck in the rain, but say, yes, I'm Olive. Right? But no, she saw the hands of God. I know of a pastor. He was at the point of quitting his ministry. He was discouraged. And then he was saying, God, do you care? Do you really care? And he was walking up and down a particular area. And those days, we don't have mobile phone. And he was passing by a public telephone, and the phone rang. And he was looking around and wonder, you know, who is it for? It rang and rang and rang, and this man just picked it up. And the voice on the other end said, are you so and so? He said, yes. He said, well, the Lord say something, to tell you something. Don't quit. Goodbye. My sheep hears my voice. How do we, I say, what I'm saying to you guys is, while we love this kind of supernatural encounter, and I would encourage you have all this kind of supernatural encounter because it gives weight to your testimony. But then let us not always go for the so-called sometimes the supernatural we make it into the sensational. Go plainly, my sheep hears my voice. Read the word of God. Go back to scripture. Listen to Jesus. Full of the word, you'll be full of his will. The more you know scripture, the more you know the voice of God. Then you will not get distracted or redirected to something that is not him. But what is this about Jesus? Jesus said to the religious leader, you have seen my works. You have heard my words. Yet you do not believe. Because everything that I do, my words and my works, points my true identity to you. But you must make a decision. That's why the word of God is always brings a judgment. Judgment means there's a drawing line, a line drawn. It's either you step and yes, I believe, or you don't. Unfortunately, there are people who may know the truth, but they do not want to be set free by the truth. But then Jesus went further and say, you know, my sheep hears my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, that they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. This is the promise of the Good Shepherd. He says, if you follow me as a Good Shepherd, you have eternal life. You have life abundance. You will know me, and I will know you. And I will lead you, and I will guide you. This is a fulfillment of the prophecy. If you've ever read in Ezekiel, he says, I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost and I will bring back the stray. I will search for my lost ones who stray away and I will bring them safely home again. I will bandage the injured and strengthen the weak. This is from Ezekiel chapter 24, 15 to 16. Jesus knows each one of us. But sometime, I think some of us had this testimony, we walk away from God. Right? We walk away from God. But somehow God, in His mercy, in His kindness, brought us back to Him. Right? Some of you can identify with this because He knows you. He knows you by name. And this again is what Psalm 23 says, right? The Lord is my shepherd, I have no need. He will supply all that I need according to His riches in glory. And then much more, He makes me lie down in green pastures, rest beside still water. He refreshes my soul. He will guide me along the right paths. I like King James says what? He will guide me along the paths of righteousness. But then the next verse says, even though I walk. See, we choose to disengage. We choose to walk away. Here is Jesus bringing us on paths of righteousness, but here I am walking, walking away. And where am I walking to? He say, into the darkest valley. Do I walk to the valley of the shadow of death? Yet, we can discover, even when we walk away, if we truly know we are His, we have no fear. But He say, Jesus will come, His rod and His staff, they comfort me. He take care of me. You know, this is Jesus. Imagine, when He began His ministry, He saw these people being pinned down and molested. He says to His disciples, these people are helpless and harassed. And then He began to perform miracles, signs and wonders. And they begin to follow Him. He was the true shepherd. Then one time He saw them hungry. He told His disciples, make them sit down on the grassy plain. And then He began to feed them through the multiplication of the bread and fish. This is our Jesus. He is a Jesus who loves us. He's a Jesus who never give up on us. He says, you know, I've given you eternal life. You will not perish. Hey, when I say this, can you have a smile? Not me say that. Jesus say this. Wow, you will not perish. You have life. Wow. And much more, He say, no one will snatch them out of my hands. Paul says that. Nothing can ever separate us from His love. And that includes you. Sometimes we believe that our wrongdoing is so powerful. We believe that we have messed up so badly that God cannot save us. But God say, nothing. Nothing includes also you. Can ever separate me from my love for you. What an assurance, what a grace of God that we are not forgotten when we have neglected our walk. But God will always find ways to pull us back. God will always find ways to bring us to know His perfect love and His kindness. He will still comfort us. And often than not, we walk away. Not for any reason. It's because we have forgotten how much we have been loved. Sometimes people think if you preach John 10:28, you will never lose your salvation or God will never, you'll be not snatched away. Wow, that gives me license to sin. No. Because the grace of God that comes will teach us to say no to unrighteousness and say yes to sober living. But we will mess up. We will fall. James says we will stumble and fall. But much more than this, we have a shepherd who never leaves us or forsake us. You may feel lost right now, but God knows where you are. In closing, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20, 21, he says, now, may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do His will, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Church, this is called a benediction, a blessing from the apostle to the readers of that church. Is that may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip us with everything good, that we will do his will, working in us, which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Listen to Jesus and do what he says. Now, I want everyone of us to stand up right now. From in groups of two or three or your family unit, I just want every one of you to pray this prayer. Just get someone in that group just to pray this prayer as a blessing, as a benediction. Can we have the slide, Robert? Hold hands, lay hands. Raise your hands. Okay, let's pray this prayer. Turn to your neighbor and begin to bless your neighbor. Bless your family. Pray with joy. Pray with conviction. Pray believing. And now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip all of us with everything good, that we as a people of God can do his will. May he work in us, that we will always do what is pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. The Father, in Jesus' name, I declare those who have been broken, those who have suffered loss, those who have been wounded, those who are right now experiencing that effect of being pinned down and molested, feeling helpless and harassed, in Jesus' name, we pray for redemption. We pray for freedom. We pray for life. We pray for hope to be restored. We pray that, Lord, in the quiet, they will hear you call them by name. Bind their wounds. Restore them. Give them hope. Give them the experience of life everlasting. Amen.